Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Features. I'm your host, Tom Bezier, with Pastor Bob Benson. Welcome, Pastor Bob.
It's great to be here, Tom.
It's glad to have you a part of this. You're a pastor, but you're also the chairman of the board of Strong Tower Radio.
God's blessed me with that privilege. Thank you.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about the medical side as well as the spiritual side, and of course we're using the medium of radio. So there's three people on this broadcast. Who's the third person in this virtual room?
All right, Dr. Shin is here from Loma Linda, and he's the president of AMEN. Welcome, Dr. Shin. Good to have you here today with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Shin is on a mission, and we're going to be talking about that mission. But, Pastor, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Father God, we are grateful that our listeners in Strong Tower Radio are interested in spiritual things. But, Lord, too, we are also to be stewards of our body temple. And today we're going to talk about the whole person and caring for the whole person and how AMEN can be a big part of that. So we just ask you to fill us with your spirit and you lead and guide our conversation, that it bring glory to you and enlighten us to things that are coming that will be a blessing to the communities of Michigan and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Bob, you're going to have to bring our listeners up to speed. You're really excited about this interview, and you've been a moving force behind it. Tell us why you're so interested in this.
Physical therapy background that I have and a pastoral background, I see that there's great benefit when you can blend the two together. And that's what Johnny's going to talk to us about, what AMEN is all about, actually. So I'm going to let Johnny Shin talk to us about what AMEN is, because it really kind of embodies the marrying of those two forces together.
That's
so,
right.
Shin, tell us about AMEN, what it's all about.
So AMEN is an acronym. It stands for Adventist Medical Evangelism Network. And AMEN is an organization of Adventist medical professionals who acknowledge that there's a lot more to health than merely the physical. And even secular society is recognizing this, to the point where a hospital cannot maintain its accreditation with the Joint Commission unless it shows that it's addressing spiritual needs of its patients. So AMEN stands as an organization that seeks to motivate, train, and equip medical professionals to show them what can you do to address whole person care, not just merely the physical. There's a lot more that goes into a person's health than what you can see in a clinic setting or what you can see on a lab value or a radiograph.
So there's, after the patient leaves the doctor's office, they still need care.
Absolutely. There's mental, emotional, spiritual needs that are often unmet in a clinical setting. And it's not taught in medical schools how to address these needs. And so AMEN is an organization that was formed to try and fill this gap and to try to show and model what are the best practices in spiritual care, reaching beyond just what you merely see in the physical realm.
So I hear two things. There's two paths. One is you're working with medical professionals to learn best practices that is on the mental and spiritual side, but you're also providing services to individuals that need help.
Yeah, absolutely. And as an organization, I think we learn best as health professionals from inspiring examples of what people do. And essentially, spiritual care, sometimes people think that spiritual care only encompasses maybe praying. If a doctor offers you prayer in their office, for example, you think spiritual care has happened. But it's so much more than that. It's when your healthcare provider connects with you as a human being and diagnoses the true condition of your heart. When you come in for care, you might only care about your blood pressure, but what is driving that blood pressure up? There's a lot of factors that you may not tell your doctor about that's contributing to your blood pressure. Is a doctor sensitive to those other factors at play? I had a patient who went through a messy divorce, and he was an alcoholic, and everyone's just focused on the alcoholism. No one knew about his divorce. So when you make a human connection with someone at the deepest level, that's spiritual care. That's going beyond just the purely physical, and that's what AMEN is about. Helping physicians, dentists, physical therapists, anyone who sees patients, to make a genuine connection with their patient and to administer whole person care.
You know, I have a friend, became acquainted that is with Christian History Magazine. And he told me that the earliest hospitals were set up by Christians, caring for people. So the spiritual side is from our very roots. Some ways, of course, Christ, and he gave the example of the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
And so healthcare has kind of got away from the spiritual side. It's become highly technical and scientific, but the spiritual has been left behind.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right in pointing out that the roots come from the fact that many people find the example of Jesus Christ to be the primary motivation to conduct medical care. I think you mentioned the Good Samaritan story. I think Good Samaritan is the most common name for hospitals in the United States. There are thousands of hospitals named Good Samaritan Hospital for that very reason. And many healthcare organizations actually have its roots in Christian founders who founded the organization because of these principles that were outlined in the life of Christ.
So tell us about this history, some of the purpose, but the history and the development of how you've grown and found mission.
So as an organization of professionals, we initially formed to kind of provide continuing education to other medical professionals about how to conduct spiritual care. But we realized that you cannot do that devoid of practical experience. So we actually developed what we call the Amen Free Clinic program. And this was modeled after some humanitarian organizations that do free medical clinics across the country and even around the world to great effect, because there's a lot of people out there who don't have insurance or who are underinsured and they still need medical care, and it's a very unmet need. And there are organizations that hold what we call mega clinics. You have hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers, medical and non-medical, descending on a city in a large metropolitan area, and you have tens of thousands of people making lines that snake around the block coming to get free medical care. And it really changes the fabric of that city. It does a lot of good in a short amount of time. But the limitations is that this is an extremely expensive affair to organize. It's logistically very complicated. And because of that, it can happen very infrequently and only in particular parts of the country. So people who don't live near these metro areas can't have access to this free medical care. So Amen wanted to meet this need, but to do it in a more lightweight and, I guess,
rapid deployment.
Right, and maybe more, more well distributed, decentralized. And so we came up with the idea of Amen Free Clinics, where we have smaller size clinics serving communities that are represented by a local church in that area, because the local church knows the needs of its communities the best, and they have members that live in the communities. And so it makes sense to host these free clinics on the church premises and invite that local community to come and get their medical care.
You're also expanding your work, those providing services, by including the congregation.
Yes.
You go beyond the medical professional. You've got other people.
Jesus says it is far better to give than to receive, right? And I believe that a lot of what ails us in society in general can be solved if we're more focused on the needs of others than our own. And I think it's not unique to churches, to any organization. I think once you get people out there helping other people and putting their eyes on the needs of others, they gain intangible benefits that that they never knew they needed.
What experiences have you had so far? How many years have you been, when was it formed, Amen, and how many clinics you've had?
So Amen as an organization, next year, 2024, will be our 20th anniversary since our inception. But Amen Free Clinics, we've been around for about a little over 10 years now. Things came to a halt when COVID hit. The pandemic lockdowns made these clinics not feasible. But we are now restarting our clinic program, and we're doing it in a slightly different way, in the sense that we want to focus even more on the communities in which they serve. We realize that it's easy for these clinics to become one-and-done deals that don't make that much of an impact in the communities. It's kind of the difference between giving a man a fish and teaching them how to fish. So if you come in and clean some teeth and administer medical care for a weekend, that's great. I don't want to discount the value of that. But what can we do to make a more lasting impact in that community? And we realize that we need to link arms with the churches in those communities and form long-term partnerships for this to happen. And so that is kind of the new initiative. This is Amen Clinics 2.0, if you will, kind of the rebirth. And a lot of these principles I'm telling you aren't anything new. It's just the first time we've implemented it. So it's kind of like old news happening to new people, if you will.
I love that saying. So how does Michigan, that is largely our listener base, how does Michigan fit into this factor?
Yes, so why Michigan? Why are we coming to Michigan? So we serve the entire nation. But we have targeted Michigan because there is a large concentration of mission-minded churches and congregations in Michigan. And within the Adventist Church, the conference here in Michigan has been very receptive to the idea of partnering with Amen in this endeavor. And they share the same vision, for which we're very grateful. We also have some of our staff who live in Michigan. So it just makes sense to start here and show a pilot model of what Amen Clinics 2.0 can look like when we develop longer-term relationships with the churches that we're working with to host these clinics so that we can have recurrent clinics, we can train people for the long-term, and give churches a mindset that this is a long-term investment in the community. It's not just, hey, come one weekend, get your medical care, and we'll never see you again. It's, no, you came for your teeth, but guess what? We have a healthy cooking class that we're going to be holding next month at our church. We have a depression recovery program that's going to be held in a different church down the road. You know, we have Bible studies going on. There are so many different resources that churches have to offer that can meet the needs of the community. And the Amen Clinics that may bring the community here is simply just the gateway that opens the eyes of the community to all the resources that are available to them through these churches.
The word continuity popped up as you were describing that ongoing and the resources and working with different locations. It may be in the next town over, but it's still close enough that some friend or can take you to that clinic, and it will happen not just once every 10 years, every 20 years. It will happen every year.
Right. And our hope is that as people get plugged into these programs, that they'll make genuine friends along the way. And that this will also teach people in the church that they have to be friendly. That this is not just a place to hang out as a social club amongst yourselves, that you have to follow the model that Christ set for us, which is you have to mingle with others and you have to feel the needs of the community. You know, the litmus test is if your church disappeared from the face of the earth, would the community even notice that it was gone, right? So we want to make sure that that answer is a resounding yes to all of the churches that are engaged with us in this program.
Well, listeners, you're listening to Strong Tower Radio Features with Dr. John Shin. He's from California, from Loma Linda University. He's here with Pastor Bob Benson, and I'm your host, Tom Azure. We'll be back after this break.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087 on Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back, folks, with Strong Tower Radio Features. I'm your host, Tom Azure, with Pastor Bob Benson.
Welcome back.
And we have Dr. John Shin, and he is here with Amen Clinics. We were talking about the clinics before this that were more than just a medical, physical, that we have a spiritual side. The Joint Commission who accredits hospitals talks about that. It's required. It's documented in research over and over again. But often, after you leave the doctor's office, you've got the medical treatment, but you haven't got the spiritual treatment. What is a, and we talked about there is Amen Clinics. What does an Amen Clinic look like? What services would you receive and how much does it cost?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the most important fact is that these clinics are free to the people who come to receive their medical care.
But they do cost money.
They do cost money. It definitely does cost resources, and it's only through the support of generous donors that we're able to provide free medical care. But for the people who come to benefit from these clinics, it is completely free. The majority of people we come that we see at these clinics are too young to qualify for Medicare, and they're either uninsured or underinsured.
Would you say they fall through the cracks?
They do. They do. These are people who haven't seen a doctor in many years, who haven't had a primary care doctor, who may not even know what that term means, and their medical plan is if something really bad happens, go to the ER. But otherwise, don't see a doctor.
And that ER program, the continuity and the follow-up is limited.
There's no continuity, of course. And if you live your, if your medical plan is just go to the ER when there's a catastrophe, it's a pretty bad plan because there's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And
you know, the interesting thing is that we have one of the most expensive medical delivery systems, and but unfortunately, the outcomes are not what it really could be.
In terms of other first world countries, America has probably the highest dollar utilization for equivalent care. So we provide excellent care. It just takes a lot more dollars to get to that same level of care as other countries. So it's an inefficient system. That's what makes it very expensive, and that's what prevents a lot of people from getting the adequate care that they need.
And what I'm hearing is that you have medical professionals caring, but you have churches and caring people working together, and you're going to provide some of the best care that is available and for the better incomes and ultimately to the user at no cost. And for the system as a whole, your community actually will have better health with Amen Clinic that is fully functioning on an ongoing basis.
So we definitely aren't claiming to be a substitute for someone's primary care physician or seeking medical care through standard avenues, but it can be a lifesaver for people who've never been able to get the care that they needed because of financial circumstances. Dentistry is by far the most common service that we offer to patients, and it's really the dental that drives a lot of people to come in. You can have high blood pressure or diabetes, that can fall by the wayside, but if you have a toothache, you're not going to sit on that. You will want care now. And so the line snakes around for dental care, and thankfully we have dozens and dozens of really generous dentists who like to donate of their time, and they come and they're willing to provide free dental care. So dental is a huge part of what we do. People get free fillings, free cleanings, free extractions. Some people, it's rare, but in some clinics they've even have done crowns and other restorative dental processes. So we bring all of our own equipment. Amen has invested in more than $500,000 of medical equipment, and we bring that onto their premises to provide this care. Where there's free x-rays. Vision is another big thing. People, you'll be amazed to know how many people are walking around with poor vision simply because they can't afford to get their eyes checked out, and they just think this is part of their lives. And it's amazing to see when we just provide them with an effective set of eyeglasses that they just look around and say, wow, I didn't realize that things can look this clear. And that actually impacts their job prospects and how much income they can make. You know, a lot of times they're just unaware that something as simple as getting eyeglasses can change the playing field for them in terms of options for jobs. Medical care obviously is a mainstay. We have a lot of medical counseling. We have primary care physicians who are at the ready to take basic health screenings. We take basic labs, check people's lipid panels and blood levels, and give them targeted advice on how to live healthy, or whether or not we diagnose more serious conditions that really should get followed up care through a physician. And so these are some of the common medical services that you'll see at every Amen clinic. And then there's some extras depending on what resources that local church has. Sometimes people have hired massage therapists to come in or physical therapists to provide their care. Some people have involved in music ministries to come and give people a relaxing atmosphere of music. And in addition to this, the church also can offer any amount of different optional services based on what resources they have in-house. So some churches have offered healthy cooking classes that they promote, or if they have like a diabetes reversal program or a depression recovery program that they like to promote. And these things are naturally on display at these Amen clinics, because then the people come in for their tooth pain, but they say, oh, you know, I have diabetes as well. I would love to learn how to change my lifestyle so I can potentially reverse my diabetes. Well, come back to this church next week. They'll be holding those classes. And then honestly, a lot of people are looking for a spiritual home, a spiritual community. And they find in these churches a welcome and loving community of faith-filled Christians who are ready to accept them with open arms. And so a lot of people sign up for Bible studies and they find answers to the most important questions in life. And they didn't realize that that's the benefit they would get when they came for their tooth pain. So these are the services that we offer at an Amen Clinic.
And then some of the local churches offer one of Pastor Benson's favorite is health fairs.
Yep. Yeah, health expos. We find out who has diabetes issues, who has high blood pressure issues, depression issues, just who needs weight management instruction or teaching. So then, you know, to have a walking club and to offer different kind of interventions with classes for how to cook healthily, to eat nutritionally, those kind of things bring people out, and they love to learn how to take care of themselves and enjoy good flavors and not really lose anything by giving up some of the things they used to do.
Well, you know, another thing of health fairs, often they talk about the simple things that we kind of really know, but we never really face it, like getting enough sleep at night.
That's right.
And drinking enough water, some of the getting out and having exercise. Those are just part of the health fair. Some, you know, a lot of times adults know what they should do, but sometimes you've got to have somebody to help you over the hump and really make a commitment. And sometimes at these health fairs, some really good outcomes of inexpensive things that can add the quality of life exponentially.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Very true. I did volunteer at the Amen's clinic when they had it in Detroit, and it was interesting. I was a physical therapist also, and this brother came through who he had an SI joint problem. He didn't understand. He thought it was his back that was hurting. So when we gave him an effective treatment that reduced it and put it in place where it was no longer hurting, he was ecstatic. And I was ecstatic too, because he could just see how thrilled he was. We talked about how to prevent it from happening in the future and what it could do. You know, and we actually gave each other a big hug because we had such a positive experience. And honestly, I had a chance to pray with him. And you know what? He walked out with a big smile. And I would just say this, that if you offered me $1 million in exchange for that experience, I would decline and say, I'll keep the experience and you keep your money. Because that's what it means to serve these wonderful people. When you serve, like you said, Dr. Shin, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That was the embodiment of that, the fulfillment of that expression in my life. And that's why it keeps me going back to wanting to do this again and again and again, because it's so rewarding.
And volunteers is the basis of this whole thing, is people giving to their community and giving to their fellow men. How do people volunteer, and who can volunteer? Is it just people of one particular denomination?
No, not at all. We say if you have a pulse, you're welcome to volunteer. And if you don't have a pulse, we'll work with that too. But anyone can volunteer, medical, non-medical. Obviously, if you're medical, then we have uses for you. You can definitely be the tip of that spear in providing the medical care. If you are non-medical, we need plenty of non-medical volunteers to help direct traffic and flow, to tend to people's needs, to give them information about where to go, to make sure these patients who come through don't fall through the cracks. It's a big endeavor. And then there are people who can't attend, but they want to help out in other ways. They may want to donate and support clinics that way. And that is extremely important as well, because like you mentioned, these are free clinics to the public, but they're not free to organize. It actually costs on average about $30,000 to host one clinic. and we're doing multiple clinics a year, and you can imagine that that cost comes up quickly, and it's all of that funding is donor-based, and the rest of it is just, you know, physicians, dentists, medical professionals donating of their time willingly. So it's the tide that raises all ships. Everyone does it selflessly. You know, Amen doesn't make any profit from these clinics. Our goal is to try to break even. We rarely do. We're usually negative. And so we rely on our generous donors to help, you know, meet the lack. But that's kind of, that's how they've been run. And God has provided for Amen clinics for over a decade. And as long as He continues to provide, we will continue to serve.
So there's contact information is vital at this time. We've raised the interest about for those who would be recipients of these services, but we also opened up the door for volunteers of the people of the community. We're the happiest, like Pastor Benson says, that you couldn't pay them for the joy that you got. And I've experienced that in those clinics. I went to one in Indianapolis, one of the mega clinics. And so how do people get involved? How can they intersect, find out a clinic that will be coming soon? We're on the cutting edge. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it is happening soon in the very near future. In the next few weeks, next few months, there'll be Amen clinics popping up across the state of Michigan. So give us some contact information.
Yes, absolutely. And so we have a website that centralizes all of our clinic information. It's called amenfreeclinic.org. So that's A-M-E-N, free, F-R-E-E, clinic, C-L-I-N-I-C.org. And here you'll be able to see a list of all of our upcoming clinics that are scheduled. So once we get our clinics underway in Michigan, you'll see all the Michigan clinics being populated here. You can sign up to be a volunteer, whether as a medical or as a non-medical volunteer using this website. And you'll be able to donate if that's how you choose to support the clinics as well. So all the information is on this website. If you want to reach out to Amen directly, you can email clinics, so that's C-L-I-N-I-C-S, at AmenSDA, so that's all spelled A-M-E-N-S-D-A.org, and you can reach us that way as well.
We are on the cutting edge of this. We have a lot to look forward to, but it's kind of fun to be on the ground level. Amen has been doing these clinics, like you said, for 10 years, and the organization has been helping health professionals find a way to help beyond the stethoscope, if you wish, but to be listening ears and referrals and giving advice, combining with those the vocational pastors who understand the spiritual side. These two come together, and then lay people, church people, community people, and people in need. It's a community all working together. It's a wonderful concept. Pastor Bob, do you have any thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I just want to flesh it out a bit more. So you got doctors, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, DOs, MDs, dentists, dental hygienists, as well as dentists, allied health people, physical therapists, occupational therapists, those who do health nutritionists, dietitians, all those people, masters of public health, they are welcome to be a part of this. We're seeking your valuable contribution to minister to the needs of the community. We would love to use the contact us, contact information that was just given to us. If you don't remember this or you didn't get that down, please contact Strong Tower Radio. We will give you the information to get in contact with Amen allow you to get plugged in.
Of course, you can always listen to this program again on our archives on strongtowerradio.org or str.fm for short. Go to the archives, resources, archives, go to Strong Tower Radio features, and you can listen to this program again. We're here to help. Amen's here to help. We're going to see a lot of things happen in the next 6 months, the next year, and then until the Lord comes.
And if you can't help with time or expertise, I crunched the numbers, it's about $100 per person that comes through the door. I say, you know what, I can't do these other ways, but I can donate and pay for two people to come through and give a $200 contribution or whatever. Just realize that every $100 you give is pretty much helping one person to get seen and cared for. And that would be a real blessing.
So Dr. Shin, give us that email and the websites again as we close the program.
So the email is clinics, C-L-I-N-I-C-S, at amensda.org. And the website again is amenfreeclinic.org. So AmenfreeClinic.org.
Well, listeners, you be looking on Strong Tower Radio's website. You go looking at the Amen website for the clinic that will be near you. I'm Tom Azure for Pastor Bob Benson, Dr. John Shin for Strong Tower Radio Features. Until next time, God bless.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Azure. Today's program is one of our People with a Purpose program. Our guest is Tim Rumsey. He's a lay evangelist, and that begs a question. Tim, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
We're doing this recording. We do them each year remotely from the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists camp meeting at Cedar Lake, just east of Edmore and west of Alma, Michigan. It gives us the opportunity to meet many ministries. This is the first time I've ever met Tim in person, and this is our opportunity for you to meet him and see what his journey has been and how you can apply his experience to your life as the Lord leads you. Tim, let's have a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing to have another workman in the field looking for souls, representing you. Lord, he is a lay person. We are lay people. And Lord, help us to work with our influences, with our friends, neighbors, and to represent you, pointing them to Jesus. In his name, amen. Tim, what is a lay evangelist?
Yes, that's a good question, isn't it? A lot of people ask me that. Of course, an evangelist is one who is sharing the good news.
About Jesus, that he came to save us.
Absolutely.
And wants to take us to heaven to him with him in due time.
Absolutely. You know, a lay person, when you're talking about a church setting, a lay person is someone who's hopefully involved in church and involved in the mission of the church, but not officially paid or employed by that denomination or that church. So we are a self-supporting ministry.
In other words, you pay your own bills with the help of those who believe in the work that you're doing.
That's right. You know, and sometimes people ask me, how do you support a family with four kids and a wife?
God
as,
does.
As a self-supporting ministry, and that's exactly my answer. Well, I don't do it. God does.
Well, you know, really, that's what Strong Tower Radio, this is a lay ministry doing what God has called us to do. And, you know, there's church people, God's people who support us, but not a church organization per se.
That's one of the big lessons I've learned in this journey in my life is that if God calls you to do something, he will make it happen. He'll provide the way.
He has the cattle on a thousand hills.
That's right.
And when it happens, we know where it came from. It wasn't us.
That's
and
right.
That takes a lot of burden off of us.
Well, it should.
And it's a walk of faith.
Absolutely.
Abraham was called the father of the faithful, and we want to learn from his example.
That's right.
So where has your journey taken you? How did you get here?
Yeah. Well, I my background is music and music education. All of my official formal schooling has been to teach music. I taught high school music for 10 years, and decided after I had done that I was ready to get some graduate degrees and try to teach at a college or university. So I had started a doctoral program in music composition, and my wife and I got married right about that time. And just a couple months after we got married, felt a very clear and strong call from God to follow His leading, whatever that might mean, and get involved in gospel ministry work of some sort.
What gave you an indication that this was the direction you should go?
We had a visiting evangelist come through our church just for a weekend, and he gave a call at the end of his short series. If you feel the Holy Spirit, if you feel God calling you to just open your life up to His leading, come forward. And all of a sudden, I looked down, and my feet were walking toward the front of the church.
Really?
So
didn't expect to do that when you came to the meeting that
No, I
day.
Didn't. You know, I had my life pretty well mapped out for myself, and I was pretty happy with it.
You liked music, and you were doing it.
Yeah. So we started praying through that entire, that was at the beginning of a school year, and we prayed for months that the Lord would make His will clear to us. And we told Him, hey, we're willing to continue doing what we're doing. My wife was a first and second grade teacher. Or we're willing to go. And for months, we prayed and didn't really get an answer.
So that's kind of a wonderful but unique position. You're called, but you don't know where to go.
Well, I think God does this probably in many of our lives, because if the answers came quickly and easily, we would end up not seeking Him as earnestly.
And not only seeking Him, but you wouldn't realize what had happened. Sometimes you need a little time to reflect in the wilderness.
That's right. We had been praying for about 8 months, and we finally reached the point where my wife needed to let her school know if she was coming back that next school year.
Yes, my wife has been in that position, usually around January or soon thereof, so it's decision time. Do you have any clear vision when you had to give that answer?
Yeah, it was May 1st of that school year.
Okay.
So we start in April, we started praying very specifically, please give us an answer by May 1st. And it was April 28 or 29.
Oh, just in time.
Just in time.
God's never late and often not early.
Sometimes not, a little early, but usually right on time.
not early by our reckoning.
Yeah. And I got a phone call, and sure enough, this was the Lord's answer. So,
was that phone call?
You know, that phone call was actually a job offer to go back and teach high school music again, which is the last thing I wanted to do. And so I wrestled with the Lord for about a week with that. Is this really what you're telling me to do?
Meanwhile, you need to tell your wife needs an answer, so you're kind of being pulled in two different directions.
That's right. But it was clear after praying for that many months and the timing of the call that this was what the Lord wanted us to do. So we did that and worked at that job for a few years, and there were many great blessings and lessons that came from it that I don't have time to share right now.
Well, it seems like if you got that answer, you should have been in lay preaching the next week.
Well, it's interesting that I did get an opportunity to start teaching Bible in that position. Even though my job was to teach music, the Lord started giving opportunities to begin doing what I'm doing full-time now.
So there was preparation nudging you a step by step.
That's right. That's right. And from there, the Lord's just slowly opened up more opportunities and started having more opportunities to do evangelistic series or fill in for churches that didn't have a pastor at the time.
And so were you still at the high school at this time?
No. By then, I had moved on.
Okay.
And eventually, about 6 years ago, we started doing this ministry work full-time.
Well, what is this ministry?
Yes, this ministry is Pathway to Paradise Ministries, and we are based in central Missouri. But I travel around the country. I have a wonderful job. I get to travel around the country teaching Bible prophecy seminars, doing revival weekends with churches. And when I'm not traveling, we're at home, and I do a lot of writing and media production.
How did God prepare you for this ministry?
I think in many, many ways. I look back on my life And I can see lots of strands of interests and experiences coming together that appeared disjointed at the time when I was younger. But now having the background in music and interest in media and writing and other experiences as well.
Be more specific.
Yeah, yeah.
What did music do for your lay preaching?
Well, I guess one very practical thing is I was used to being up front.
Okay.
And so, you know, the fear of speaking thing, which is, you know, a very real thing for many people.
Music required performances.
I had to deal with that earlier in my life.
You had to be a little bit organized.
Yes.
You had to have planning in order to do this. These are all prerequisites to leading people to Christ in the pulpit.
And the teaching experience. You know, the principles and techniques of effective teaching really doesn't matter what topic you're teaching. And so I think those years of teaching certainly, now I'm teaching a different subject, but there's a transfer there.
Sounds like the ratio or the division of what you were teaching just changed. You had a spiritual interest, but it just became a larger piece of the pie.
That's right. That's right.
Now, how did your preparation of technology and media, where did that come in, and how does that apply to your current ministry?
I produced several CD projects with my students when I was teaching music. So I think, you know, working with the computers and the technology, learning how to use microphones, this kind of thing, certainly has helped as we are now producing our own content through the ministry.
In part of your seminars require visuals. So when you say CDs, were they only auditory, or did you have some video in your...
Well, those were compact discs back in the day. But yeah, we do quite a bit of video work as well. And I enjoy graphic design and layout. Have always enjoyed those artistic things. So now it's very useful to be able to bring that into what we're doing as well.
Were there any other elements that God prepared you in the most unusual place?
Well, it was interesting. As we were at that second high school, the one I didn't think I wanted to go to, my wife and I had an opportunity to go to South America. And for about 10 days we were down there, had the opportunity to do some Bible prophecy seminars down there. And even though it was, of course, Spanish environment. I don't speak Spanish, so there was a translator. It was a great experience, and that was really the first opportunity I had to do that kind of Bible teaching in that setting.
God prepares us in marvelous ways in places you would never expect.
That's right.
So let's talk about the ministry Pathways to Paradise Ministries. How is there a story behind that title?
That's the name of the first full-length, and by that I mean four-week-long Bible prophecy seminar that I did. And then as we were searching for a name for the ministry shortly after that, I liked the name. Other people said, yeah, that sounds like a good name. So that's where the name came from. But I will add this as well. Jesus is the pathway to everlasting life. And so the name... we hope is clear that it's pointing to Jesus as well.
So Jesus, if I could paraphrase, Jesus is the pathway to paradise and everlasting life.
And he said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Tell us about your ministry. What is your method, your presentation? I'm sure everybody has their own method.
Sure. You know, we seek to... get the message out and share the gospel in as many ways as we can. So in our modern culture, that means you're active on social media. You're on radio when you get the opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad to have you here.
You try to get your videos out in as many places as possible. But, you know, in trying to be well-rounded, you want to maintain that focus and don't forget why you're doing what you're doing, which is really to bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is how Jesus, if you look at how he did his work of ministry when he was here on earth, he had many different activities that he did. He was preaching, he was teaching, of course he was healing as well. But all of that, you know, why did he do those things? It was really to make disciples. And so, you know, he knew that his time was limited here on earth. And even though he had an incredible, amazing ministry for 3.5 years, his true focus and purpose was to make disciples that would carry on that work after he had left.
To make it sustainable.
Exactly. So to answer your question, you know, our real goal is to make disciples and help the churches that we work with make disciples.
After you leave.
After I leave. I'm only at a place for a few days or maybe a few weeks at the most. So there has to be something beyond me.
Tell us some of the stories of people that have been to your seminar and how their lives have been changed.
And I remember there was a man, this was a number of years ago, and we were doing a Bible prophecy seminar, and he came up to me about halfway through the series. And he said, I want to tell you my story. He said, I grew up as a Christian. I've been active in my church, you know, since I was young. I've been a leader in my church, working with youth, teaching, you know, the Sunday school lessons and so forth. And he said, but there was always a hole in my life. And I knew that when I was home alone, the person that I felt like I was inside was very different from what people saw at church. And so he said, I was really praying to the Lord about this one day and just pleading, show me where the disconnect is. And as he was praying, he received a very clear impression. And that is there any media in your home? DVDs, videos, music, books, magazines, whatever it may be. Is there anything in your home that should not be in a Christian's home? And I still remember as he told me this, you know, he had a tear or two coming down his cheek. He said, I got up from my knees and I immediately went and threw a lot of things away that I knew shouldn't be in a Christian's home. And as he finished his story, he had a big smile on his face. He said, you know, as soon as I did that, I had that connection with God. I had the power in my life that had always been missing. And you could just see it in his face that he now had a relationship with God. And, you know, I hope that, you know, that has been something he's been able to share with others as well. And I share his testimony a lot because, you know, those are things we all struggle with, things in our lives that we know shouldn't be there.
The listeners that we have cover the whole spectrum. Some of them are the curious. They just stumbled across this station. They may have no Christian background at all. Some may have been associated with a number of churches over the years, and some have been the devout. Describe your meetings and what they will experience when they come. What is a typical night, and what will they learn during that series?
Yeah, definitely. When we do a Bible prophecy series, we really focus on the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. And it's full of prophecies and symbols and things like this. But we start out just looking at the Bible as a whole and asking the very simple question, is this book something you can trust? And so we look at that from a number of angles. We do look at some prophecy, and we see how through the course of world history, the prophecies in the Bible have played themselves out, and sure enough, God knew in advance what was going to happen. We look at that question from the angle of science, and we look at the way our universe is constructed and the way it works, all the way down to, you know, some aspects of our human bodies like DNA and all of the proteins and enzymes, you know, biology.
Sounds like a wow factor.
Oh, yeah. And we find evidence that mathematically speaking and, you know, scientifically speaking, there has to be a designer. We look at it through the lens of archaeology. Do we, when we dig in the dirt, do we see evidence that supports the biblical record, especially in the early portions of the Old Testament there?
I'm sure that people are amazed at what archaeology has just confirmed the Bible, which stands on its own as its own testament.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, at the same time, God never removes all ability to doubt. There is the role of faith. Now, he gives plenty of evidence. In Isaiah chapter 1, he says, come and let us reason together. So he never presents so much evidence that we're just compelled. He leaves that room for a choice and decision.
We'd like to have it compelling.
Well, I will say this. It is compelling evidence for those that choose to believe. And there is plenty of evidence. So there's this balance here.
So we have a part in it.
We do.
We have a choice to make.
And honestly, I'm glad we serve a God that leaves room for personal choice. You know, the Bible says God is love, and love is freedom. And if God forced us to behave or believe or act or speak a certain way, then that's no longer love. So he has to leave that room for us in each of our lives to make that decision for ourselves.
If a person comes to your seminar, will they know their Bible better?
I sure hope so. We spend a lot of time in the Bible in our seminars. And even though we may focus on Revelation, we go many other places in the Bible as well. You know, one of the things that people are often surprised about as they begin studying the Bible is how the Bible interprets itself. So, you know, if you're studying Revelation or, for that matter, other prophetic passages, there are things that can be difficult to understand. You know, a beast power or some symbol or a horn or something like this. You know, what does this mean? This is strange. This is weird. But the Bible does interpret itself. And so part of the fun and the challenge of Bible study is to dig and search and pray as we do that, but find where, other places in the Bible where those symbols are very clearly explained. And the Bible does give us those explanations.
Do you ever have participants, those who are attending, have aha moments? In other words, they've read this before. They might even be Bible students. And all of a sudden, I never saw that. I've read that before. And aha.
That is one of the most rewarding parts of what I get to do. This week we've been at the Michigan camp meeting, and I've been sharing the early morning devotionals each morning. And several times this week, as we've been studying, I've heard people say, oh, wow. And, you know, I like to always say that the Bible is like an onion. There are many layers to it, and you can keep peeling away those layers and discovering something new that you haven't seen before. And whether you've never opened the Bible or whether you've been studying it for decades, there is always something else to discover about the Bible. And just like a good strong onion, sometimes it can even make you cry.
Oh, yeah. Never thought about that. When you go to have one of these meetings, you have a spectrum of people. Can you describe the people who attend your meetings and maybe their experiences?
Sure. Well, of course, there's always the church folk that are either helping put on the meeting or have been invited by friends. And then we'll get people who come because of some kind of advertising. And, you know, frequently they have some background in Christianity. We do get those who are just curious, you know, and they'll have seen a poster somewhere, and so they'll drop in, and they're curious what all this is about, especially if you're talking about, you know, a current event topic that's connected with prophecy or something like that. So there really is the full spectrum of people that we get, and that's part of the enjoyment of what I get to do as well, because you get to meet so many people and interact with, you know, a lot of different worldviews. And there's always something to learn from everybody that comes, as they will often come up after a presentation and say, well, I've never thought of it that way, or I'm not sure about that. And then, you know, if I'm lucky, they'll explain why, and they'll get to share, you know, where they come from. And that's educational for me, but it also helps me in future presentations to know how to address the questions or concerns they might have had.
To see your audience's needs.
Exactly.
I can see that there are people who have no Christian background, never even cracked the Bible at all, but there's something that they see and the information, the topics, the outline, what is their experience, and we've all the way up to those with a lifelong church background.
You know, it's interesting in what our world has been through in the last few years with the pandemic. I would say it's probably safe to say that most folk, no matter what your background or worldview is, realize that the world has changed and that things are not as we thought they were. And there's a lot of questions in people's mind about where the world is headed, what's coming next. Now, those with a Christian biblical worldview will look at the prophecies and say, hey, the Bible tells us Jesus is coming soon. Those that have a different worldview might come to a different conclusion, but almost everybody I've come across, you know, and you probably have the same experience, everyone realizes that something is happening in the world. And so there are a lot of people seeking for what is the truth that's going on. And I think that is a huge opportunity, a huge window. Not, you know, God didn't cause all the pain and suffering. My own father-in-law died, you know, from COVID, you know, so I get the pain and suffering. God didn't cause that, but he can use bad things for his purposes and for his end.
We, some of our listeners have been told that the book of Revelation is a closed book. Do you believe that?
No, actually the very first verse says this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the angel who is giving this vision to John actually says, write these things down and share them. So in the very first verses of Revelation, it's very clear that while it may be challenging to understand, it's intended to be understood and shared. And we live in that time period where we need to understand it.
Absolutely. So the novices that have never opened the book, the Bible, and those who have had a lifetime experience but would like to open up the book of Revelation will all be, each and individually, be blessed.
Absolutely.
Everybody will grow.
Without a doubt.
Well, Tim, tell us a little bit about how people can interface with your ministry either online or even in person with maybe calendar events where you travel.
Sure. We're going to be, well, let me start with our website. Our website is www.pathwaytoparadise.org. That's pathwaytoparadise.org. We have a toll-free phone number, 855-HIS-TRUTH, 855-HIS-TRUTH. And that's probably the best ways to contact our ministry to find out more about what we're doing. You know, I don't know exactly when this is going to be airing, but we do prophecy seminars around the country each year. So hopefully we'll get back to Michigan soon.
That's right. And you can look on this website and travel. Sometimes a person feels compelled and they want to go to the location where you're at.
Absolutely.
And others will find resources online to grow their Christian experience.
Yes.
Tim, I really appreciate you being a part of Strong Tower Radio and our people with a purpose, and you definitely have a purpose.
Well, God has a purpose for each one of us, and one of life's greatest fulfillments is to discover and then follow that purpose.
Well, listeners, I'm Tom Majeure, your host for Strong Tower Radio. Until next time, God bless.